If you have your Bibles, I'd like to preach to you just a little while this morning in the book of Psalms, chapter 69, verses 1 through 3. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms, chapter 69, and verses 1 through 3. Amen. And it says, in the reverence of the Lord, save me, O God, for the waters are coming to my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where the flood overflows me. I'm weary of my crying, and my throat is dried, and my eyes fail while I wait for my God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. I ask you, dear Lord God, to put this trumpet in your mouth, dear Lord, and blow. And God, and intervene, dear Lord, in your servant, dear Lord, that your word would go forth and touch some soul this morning, that they would hear, dear Lord, and understand more about you and, Lord, your love and kindness. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'd like to preach to you just a little while this morning, and the Lord helping us here on a place for the wounded, a place for the wounded. Many times in life we have so many things, and I think the psalmist, as he describing in this verse, the pain that many people feel in their lives and afflictions that they have that come. I was thinking, as our brother was giving the wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning, they'll probably think that we were on the same track this morning. Amen. But you know, the Lord knows. It's not a coincidence. The Lord knows what is fixing to happen. In many services, if you'll notice, many times from the songs that we sung, from right on up to the words that were spoken, God know that you were going to be here. God know that there was a need, and God wanted to meet that need. And he says here in the word, he said, save me, O Lord, for the waters that have overcome my soul. He's speaking and describing of something, and maybe of a hurt or a wound that he had in his life. And he goes on and he says, I'm sinking into a deep mire where there is no standing. It's as though there's no way that I can come up. This is something that is bogging me down, or something that is a heavy weight upon me, and that I would like to be free from it. I'd like to be able to go on with life. And I see many Christians in many ways, and many things that sometimes are so frivolous, it seems like, that the things that come into their lives, yet it bogs them down, that they can't get on. They can't get on with their life as being a Christian. They can't get on with doing things for God like they're doing, because there's so many things of obstacles that come in their way, so many things that come into their life that becomes a wound to them, a wound to the spirit, a wound to the heart, to the place that they really need a freedom. They need a miracle in their lives, and for God to move in that way. A wound is an injury of hurt. A wound is something that is sometimes violently brought upon us, and maybe in an accident or something, but it brings in damage to the heart, and what I'm talking about this morning. But God has a place for the wounded. God has a place for those that get in that condition. I remember I had a lady in the church that for a while, that when she came to church, that she had lived such a life, and there was so much things that had went on in her life, but her brother had killed her husband, and that she had all this time had hidden it from her children because of retaliation and things that was going on, and she just was in so much hurt and pain. Even though it was 30 some years old, There was such a hurt and pain, and that she just seemed like she couldn't get the victory over that in her life. And you know, many times we have things that are not that significant, or say maybe it's less. And sometimes we come to the place when we have wounds in our lives that many times we say, well, no one understands how I feel. That is usually the first thing we say. How could they ever understand how I feel? How could they ever understand how this pain that I have is in my life? How could they ever understand that where it came from? And I live close to that person, or they're here, or they're there. And it always reminds me of that. But God has a place for the wounded. God has a place for those that get in that condition in such a wound. He has a place, and David was describing it as become a mire to him. It's like a water that's overflowed his soul. It's something that has happened to his life. And you know, a lot of the things that we have and that comes in our lives as wounds are many times in our emotions and in our hurt. Amen. It is an emotional thing that we are torn with and an affliction that we have. Amen, church. We have that that comes in such a way that is in that affliction that it is holding us down. And the heart and the part of it is that is such that we can't seem to release it and let it go. We can't seem to release it and let it go. And David, as he was talking about it and saying it is, he could see that there was somewhere there was damage done. Amen. You can say that somewhere there's been some damage done. There's been some hurt done here. And he was talking to it either whether it was by the enemy or by a friend. And sometimes it happens to us in our lives that it's by someone that when it's close to us. Maybe it is a friend or a hurt that has happened to our lives. Amen. But it don't matter what kind it is. It doesn't matter. God has a place for those that have been wounded. God has a place for those that need that touch in their lives. Amen. So many times we are in this condition in our life that we need. What do we need is a spiritual healing. A spiritual healing in our lives. Amen. You know, it's so right. How it is that if you notice how that it seems like when we get hurt, the first thing we want to do, and I've read about many times that people, when they get hurt, they have a shock, and the shock causes them to be able to stand and run. They get wounded. I was close by when I remember a man that had got hit by a car, and I remember that he was actually able to stand up. It just glazed him on the side. He actually, and he went rolling down the street, but then and I remember I had some preacher friends with me, it was downtown Guadalajara, that is, as he fell down there just a few feet, he actually got up, stood up, and walked over to the median and laid back down. And you say, how is it possible that a person could do that? Amen? Sometimes the wounds that we get, we say, how is it ever to be able to survive such a thing? But, you know, God is gracious in His mercy, and there's strength that we can find in God and in all the wound and all the damage. You say, it's irreversible. It can't be. There's no way we can get out of it. There's no way. And, you know, David had one as a man that he had experienced many things. He had experienced many things. But we have to get a spiritual healing. I've been things in my life that I remember that being a son of a pastor, remember them hurting my father and saying, oh, how could I ever get over it? How could I ever get beyond it? But you know, getting a hold of God and reaching out to God and letting God move in my life, there was a healing come. There was a spiritual healing come. And let me tell you here this morning, it don't matter what it is that has come in those things in your life. Maybe that you say, well, there was no reason for it. There was no cause for it to happen, but it happened anyway. It don't matter what it was or what it is. God has a place for the wounded, amen, because He knows how to touch them in their lives. We read and we understand about, we look at Job, and you can look at Job and you say, how could he survive what he did? Job had great losses. Job had great pain. Job had seems like to be no friends. Job was in a place that he felt like maybe there wasn't a reason to keep living. Job was in a place that you could say he had many questions, and that is what we usually have when we are wounded. We're wounded spiritually. Many times we have so many questions, and those questions are why. Amen. We have so many questions, and we're asking ourselves, how can this be possible? And I want to read this here that it says in Psalms, just right there over in the same chapter in 69 and 14. And David begins to cry out to the Lord, and he says, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out as they hate me, and it says, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not this pit shut her mouth upon me. He says, hear me, O God, for thy loving kindness is good, and turn me according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. He was crying out and saying, you Lord, it's come over me like water. Lord, I want that tender mercy, and I want to be free from the wound that has happened to me. I want to be free from this pain and this agony that has come upon me. But you know, spiritual healing, it comes when we are ready to let it go. As long as we hold on to it, we can't let it go. Amen? But when we become a people, we're ready, and we're wanting God to move. And you know, a lot of times when we think about it again and again, we just rehearse it, and it can't get healed. We rehearse it, and we can't get free from it. We rehearse it, and we don't seem to be able to let it go. But in Psalms 39 and 13, he says, and spare me that I may recover my strength. He says, Spare, O Lord, spare me that I may recover my strength before I go hence and be no more. Lord, deliver me before the time that it comes that I would not be no more. Amen. As he is talking to, I'm preaching to you this morning about that he has a place for the wounded. Amen. Many times we become bitter at this point. Many times that at this very point, it's easy to become bitter, and we're bruised, and we're scarred, and we got pain, and we feel anger, we feel disappointed. And sometimes at this point is at the very point that we get sort of into the place of a hopelessness to see recovery. And but you know, that is the very thing that the devil would like to get you into. The devil would like to get you into the place that he would say, you know what, there's no way to be healed from those kind of wounds. There's no way to be able to heal by those kind of wounds, because that kind of wound is no one recovers from it. There's no one that gets free from that damage. That's what the devil would like people to believe. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it don't matter how big the wound was. It don't matter how much the pain was. It don't matter what it was or what it contained, or the volume or the size of it at all. He is one God that is still faithful, and he has a place for the wounded. He has a place for that heart that is hurting. I began to deal with this sister that I was telling about in church, and I began to tell her that God is still on the throne, and God still loved her, and God still cared, and God wanted to move in her life. She'd got to the place that she couldn't have a smile anymore. She couldn't have the peace anymore. But you know, when God came on the scene and God began to move, he began to touch her life, and she found a place of the wounded, a place where God comes in and touches the heart and moves for the soul. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that are out in that world that are wounded, and they need help. But what about us in church that we can't seem to get the victory because there's past wounds, there's past hurts, there's past things that there that we've not been able to let go. But I do know one thing, church, if we could let him go, we could find a spiritual healing that we need here this morning. It don't matter how old you are, it don't matter how young you are, he's a God that binds up the wounds, he's a God that replaces
that hurt. Oh, let me tell you, with a joy that you can have again. You say there's no way to recover. David said, Lord, help me now, because he wanted to recover. Amen, church. The Bible says in Psalms 147 and 3, he healed the broken in heart, and he binds up the wounds. And he binds up the wounds. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, a lot of times we think of Christ and we think of the things that he has done. And we always think of the part that he was a God that healed the lame. And he healed the blind. And he brought the dead back to life. He was one that took care of the withered arm. He was that kind of God that when he seen that widow that came there, the widow named that her boy was her only son. He seen the pain of that. And you know what? He come down and give that miracle right there. But listen to me. Not only was he that healing God, not only was that healing God that he was to walk on the water, to help them see what they need to do. Let me tell you. But he had a place for those that were wounded. A lot of times when we read it, we always think of it. Oh, we need a miracle working God. Oh, those things do need miracles. We do need those kind of touches. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God, all in his infinite mercy, and David called it mercy, that when he was wounded, oh, he wanted to find a place for the wounded, where comfort could come, where peace could come, when joy can be restored to its fullest. Amen, church. Praise God. I want to remind you of the verse that we have that the Bible speaks of in the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And so many of you know it because it repeats itself from Isaiah. And the Bible said, he has sent me, and I'm just going to read part of it. He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, if you notice that in this scripture, what we have, that these subject here are not, it's not all physical healing, but it's spiritual healing as well. You see, when Christ came, it's just like the day that we have today, that they were human just like we were. They were human just like we are. And you know, people get in depressions. They get in anxieties. They get in under stress. They get in under afflictions that bring about even further infirmities that they have. And they need a spiritual healing. They need a spiritual healing which only God can give. Oh, why? Because God is a God that has a place for the wounded. Woo, hallelujah, church. I've seen people that got down so low that they just feel like they couldn't look up. They couldn't see themselves out of it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you could just let him spiritually heal you again. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm not saying that you need to come down and say, Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior. I'm talking about letting him heal you. Heal your spirit. Oh, maybe you need to be saved this morning. That would be just fine as well, that God would come and save your soul. But let me tell you, he has a place for the wounded, for those that need a spiritual healing in their lives. And I don't know what the size of yours is, but I've seen some of the littlest things that seem to be so frivolous that they can't pray. We can't seek God. We can't reach up and touch heaven. It seems like it's always a selected few that always seem to get in, and there's others that can't get in because we have things that are in our lives that we need to let go of. Amen, church. I'll never forget a young man that I was dealing with. In fact, there was two at the time, an elder man and a younger man that I was dealing with, and they would come to the altar. And they needed God to really move in their lives. And as I was praying with them, I noticed that there was no breaking at all. You know, I've always taught that when you're a Christian and you come to the altar,
when you're a sinner and you come to the altar and you pray, there has to be a broken. You have to give in. You have to surrender to God. And these men that I had been dealing with, and I had seen them, and I went down there and I had prayed several times and just asked the Lord to move for them and touch them, and they would get down there and pray and they would say a lot of words, but there was never no brokenness. There wasn't a surrender. You know, with the young man, I began to deal with the things and the issues that as the Lord began to reveal them to me, and I began to talk to him about it. And you know, the prayer was being hindered by some wounds that were in the past. And when we began to pray with him, and God began to move in his life, and God began to touch him, and he began to say, Lord, I'm going to let it go. Did you know what happened? A brokenness come. Amen, church. There was a brokenness come, and he began to cry, and he began to weep before the Lord. And you know, it wasn't long that he began to raise his hands, and he could praise him again. He could worship him again. Why? It's because he come to the point that he was letting God, giving that spiritual healing, and God to move in his life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he can still do it. I want to tell you, there's a lot of times we hold on to it for years and years and years, and we don't seem to ever let it go, and we need to let it go. We need God to move. Amen. We need God to move in our lives. We need him to touch us. For he come to bind up the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. And it says, and to give liberty to those that were what? Bruised. They're not physically hurting, as in damage to the physical body. But they're bruised. They're bruised. Are you here and bruised this morning? Are you here and are you bruised? The other man I'm telling you about that I was dealing with, he's nearly 70 years old. I would go down there and he's been in church. The man has been in church for 30 years. I asked his daughter, I said, what's wrong with your dad? She says, I don't know. She said, I don't know. You need to talk to him. Been in church for 30 years. Got saved. Lord dealt with his life. His family all serves the Lord now. But as I got down there, and here he is, an elder man, and I began to deal with the thing that was in his life, and I began to pray with him. I know a little bit of what had been in his past, but there was something about recognizing it. There's something about saying, Lord, I've got this, and I need to let it go. A lot of times we ignore it. We say, well, I'm just going to put it on the side. It'll just sort of go away, and it'll become a part of a wall there and just sort of disappear. But you know, those are the very things that hinder us in our prayer, because they always seem to come up somehow. Here he was, a man, been in church for 30 years, nearly 70 years old at that time. And I began to pray with him, and I began to say, you know what? There's something here that you're not getting beyond. And I began to deal with it. I said, is there anything that maybe you need to forgive? You see, a bruise can be also something you hadn't forgiven, as well as to be forgiven. And I began to deal with him, and I began to talk to him. And you know, as he began to say with his mouth, and he began to confess, and he began to bring it out, you're talking about somebody that's done been saved for 30 years and had something there. Oh, it might have seemed frivolous to me. I've been looking at people, and I say, you know, I never ever want to be a person that never takes their hurt serious, because for you and for everyone that is in the house, if your hurt is there, you know how it hurts you. No one can tell. And I began to deal with him, and he began to confess, and he began to say, this And this, as he was confessing those bruises, as he was confessing those things that broke his heart. You know what? A brokenness, Brother Jarvis, began to come. And God began to move in his life, and God began to touch him in his life. And as God began to move, oh, let me tell you, a sweet Holy Ghost began to come, and he was able to pray. You know what? He got up and said, it's been years since I cried. It's been years since I was able to touch God like that. I don't know if you're here this morning, and it's been a while since you've been able to touch God like you need to touch him. But listen to me, the word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Not part of them, but all of them. All of those bruises, all of those wounds, and all of those hurts, all of those things that come and tear us down. I want to tell you, we have many things that come, but you know, I look back, and I'm going to close, but I look back and I see that the apostles that walked with Christ, and they were there and in that place of seeing him heal and do and all the things that go on. And you say, in the midst of all this glory and all of this, how could it be that there could be such a time that Christ would die and leave us alone? And that was the very thing that happened. And Thomas's faith was wounded. Thomas's faith was wounded. They said, we seen him. He said, I don't believe it. Why couldn't he believe? Because he had walked with this man and seen what he'd done. And now his faith was wounded to the place he was saying, I don't believe hardly anything anymore. I just can't understand how this could happen. Amen. But God has a place for the wounded. Amen. God has a touch for the wounded. And you know what? Thomas, and all his doubt and his confusion and his faith, he was needing a spiritual healing. He was needing a spiritual healing to come about. And God knowed that he did. But you remember at the end of the story of Thomas that Jesus said to Thomas, come, touch this hand, touch this side. You know what Thomas needed to do was Thomas had to touch him. Thomas had to touch him so that he could believe. So his faith could be restored and the wound could be taken away. And I know one thing for sure, that when we as Christians, though we've had many things happen and many wounds to come, if we can touch him, it'll all be well. Amen. It'll all be well. I don't know. Maybe it's your life that's been afflicted, or maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's those things that you thought could never, ever be a part of you. Maybe it's something in your life that no one knows about that is in your life. But God has a place for the wounded. God has a place for the wounded. And all they've got to do is come and reach out and touch him like Thomas did. Oh, let me tell you, let doubt be there no more. You say, I don't know if I can survive. You will survive because he's still there. You will survive. I've had so many tell me, you know what? I don't know how I made it through it. I'll tell you how you made it through it. You made it through it by the grace and the mercy of God, because his mercy is unfailing.
unfailing. His mercy is unfailing. He knows where you're at when you cry. David said in Psalms, tears have become my bread. It don't matter how much you cried. It don't matter how much it has been there. God knows where you're at. He's not forgot. He'll help you in a song. He'll help you in the service. He'll move for you. But you got to be like Thomas. Oh, and reach out and touch him. Reach out and touch him. Let me tell you this morning, if you're here and you're hurting, you're here and you have a pain, you're here and you've got a past wound, and you want God to touch it, let me tell you, he has a place for the wounded. Get out of the battlefield and reach out and touch Christ. Reach out and touch Christ and say, Lord, I believe. Oh, I believe. You say, I don't know if I could do that or not. Say it. Confess it. And say what you've not been able to say. Reach out and come to the altar and say, God, I want to tell you about it. I've been holding it in. I've been holding it in. But today, I want to tell you about this. Sometimes it's frivolous. Seems so insignificant. Little things that become a hindrance to our lives that we need spiritual healing from. Amen? Let's come around the altar this morning. And I know God can move for someone, and I know that you know how to pray. But I feel in closing here this morning, we need that freedom. We need that freedom to praise. We need that freedom to glorify. We need that freedom to worship him. And that comes through the victory in Christ. Oh, come and tell him. If you want to tell him, Lord, I've been wounded, and you've got a place for the wounded. I want to bring it, Lord, and I want to tell you, and I want to let go. Lay it down. Come down here this morning and say, Lord, I want to lay it down right here. And I want to pick it up no more. I want to come back tonight and I want to have the victory. I want a revival to start in my life, God. But I want to lay it down here at the place for the wounded. I want to lay it down, God, and I want you to touch me again. Oh, reach out. Come on, church. Come on, let's come around these altars and pray, young people. Let's come around these altars and pray. Let's reach out to God. Let's have him move for us again. Oh, reach out and touch him like Thomas did. And he renewed his faith. Renew your faith this morning. Renew your hunger and your desire for God. Tell him to move for you. And he will. Come on, young people. Come on, young people. Come on.